We've heard the word of God read and we've been singing his praise. Let's bow our heads in prayer now before the sermon. Gracious God, we bow our heads in your presence with humble hearts. Lord, we long to be more obedient to you. Would you please send your Holy Spirit to open our minds to understand the scriptures and to see the Lord Jesus in them. Lord, we long to bring glory to your name. Give us opportunities to do that, please. Amen. We're continuing our series on the book of Ruth today. The overall title is Sometimes I Wonder. Sometimes I Wonder. And it seems that in these days right now, there's lots of wondering going on. We wonder what tomorrow is going to bring. Are there going to be new rules for how we manage ourselves during a pandemic? Are there going to be new COVID cases breaking out, new economic challenges? Lots of stress. There's lots of uncertainty. Even in a prosperous country like ours, there's uncertainty. Many people have lost jobs and some have lost hope. Well, we're a people of hope. We are people of the book, and the book tells us about the good news of the Lord Jesus. So today's title for this part of the series is, How Will I Know? How will I know? From Ruth's perspective and what was going on with her, how would she know that everything was going to work out? How would she really know? The very beginning of Ruth, chapter 1, verse 1, it says, In the days the judges ruled. So the judges were put in place by God to look after things and to care for Israel and to make sure people stayed on the straight and narrow. That time was a time of good times and bad times for Israel. At the end of the book of Judges, which is just before Ruth, it says, In those days, Israel had no king. So there was no king. Everyone did as they saw fit. So it was a bit of a Wild West show, really. It really was. There were some good judges and there were some bad judges. So things were far from settled in Israel. But yet, we hear Naomi in the book of Ruth give a promise to Ruth. And she promises Ruth a happy ending in chapter 3, which is part of our reading for today. She says, I must find a home for you where you will be well provided for. That's a big promise. And we wonder, how could Naomi make that promise? Well, it turns out she knew something. She had some inside information about God's law. The law provided for someone called a guardian redeemer. A guardian redeemer. And a guardian redeemer was a male relative who was obligated to care for the members of his family. If you'd lost your property or had to sell yourself and your family into slavery, he would come and he would redeem you. He would take the widow and her children into his home and care for them. And Boaz in the story is one of those guardian redeemers. So Naomi's plan that she gave to Ruth was to say, Ruth, go and stay close to Boaz. He's our guardian redeemer. And that sounds like a good plan. Now remember that Naomi's plan came at this time of the Wild West in Israel. Things were all over the place. And it wasn't a great time to be a female foreigner and an elderly widow. They were very vulnerable. They needed a guardian redeemer, and they needed him fast. There was no guarantee that a Jewish male would live up to his responsibility to care for them. There's no guarantee. We know what it said in God's word, but there's no guarantee that the guardian redeemer would be faithful to that word. But Naomi saw something special in Boaz. There was something there, and she specifically mentioned his kindness and his generosity. So, into that uncertainty and that time of wondering what's going to happen, we see two bright lights of redemption. There's a promise and there's a sign, a promise and a sign. There's a spoken promise from God that the Redeemer would come to save. And there was a physical sign from God that the Redeemer would provide. So first of all, a spoken promise. Now, Naomi first heard the name Boaz in chapter 2, and she said to Ruth, that man is our close relative. He is one of our guardian redeemers. So Naomi zeroed in on Boaz. He was going to be the one who was going to save them. And Naomi told Ruth, You go and you literally stay close to Boaz, close enough to get under part of the blanket as he's sleeping at night on the threshing floor. So the story shows the serious need that Ruth and Naomi had for a redeemer. Where else were they going to go? There was nowhere else to go. There was no social safety net. This was it. They relied on having a guardian redeemer. Without the guardian redeemer, they'd be at the mercy of any man who wanted to take advantage of them. So Ruth, for her part, showed complete trust in Naomi. She said to her mother-in-law in verse 5, "I will do whatever you say. I'll do whatever you say because I trust you." Ruth trusted Naomi to know the customs of the Jews. She trusted Israel's God to provide, and she trusted Naomi as a God-fearing woman. It turns out that God had promised to look after his people and redeem them. And this guardian redeemer was part of God's promise to his people. It was part of the written law of Moses. It was written in there, and it was meant to give expression and a physical presence to the covenant that God has made with his people. Now, it's easy to make a promise, but you need to back it up in some way. That's what God was doing. If we look back in the book of Leviticus in the Old Testament, there were specific instructions about how the destitute were to be redeemed by their closest male relative. And these laws were serious. They were part of the living word of God for the people of Israel. So Naomi trusted God to work through a guardian redeemer. And she said, Boaz is the man because he's trustworthy and God-fearing. And the trust was part of Israel's history. They were called to look back and to see how God had provided for them. The Lord had freed them from slavery in Egypt. He'd given them the land of Canaan. He'd made a covenant with Abraham, and he'd promised to keep it forever. And the promise given in his word was meant to take on physical shape in the person of the guardian redeemer. The man was going to be the physical embodiment of God's promise to save his people. So it was a strong promise given flesh in that guardian redeemer. And Boaz himself picks up on this. He gives voice to the promise when he says to Ruth in chapter 2, "May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." So that promise and that blessing that Boaz gave to Ruth was rooted in the promise that God would always guard and redeem his people. These people are chosen by grace, and when God chooses a person, he doesn't unchoose a person. And when he promises to redeem, he really does redeem. So he chose Ruth, and he promised her a redeemer. So there's a spoken promise. A redeemer is going to come. But how was Ruth going to know that that promise was going to be kept? She trusted God, but was there more to come? Well, here's where we move from a spoken promise to a physical sign. The physical sign was that the Redeemer actually provided. The promise was given that he would provide. Now we have a physical sign that he actually does provide. And not sometime in the future, he actually provides here and now, this day. So in the past, God's promise was given through prophets, most notably Moses. And as we look back through the law of Moses, through those first five books of the Bible, we see that these aren't just empty promises. You look through the book of Genesis and the book of Exodus, and you can count the ways that God provided for his people, all these immeasurable ways. He saved the people from slavery in Egypt, physically. He gave them release from Pharaoh. He gave them food as they wandered in the desert. He gave them water from a rock, manna from heaven. So the Bible's crystal clear that when God makes a promise, he keeps a promise. He always does. The problem is us. The problem is our heart. We forget our part of being obedient. We forget about God's faithfulness. We presume on his goodness, and we think we don't need to do anything but just continue to reap the blessings without actually trusting him and believing in him. We are called to follow the Ten Commandments as Christians. Those are still in effect for us. The food laws and the religious laws in the Old Testament, the purity laws, they've been fulfilled in Christ. He fulfilled everything. But the Ten Commandments stand forever. Now, you might hear the word commandment and wonder what that has to do with being a follower of Jesus. You might say, well, I thought Jesus is all about love. Love your God and love your neighbor. What do the commandments have to do with love? And is there love in the commandments? Well, remember what Jesus said to the religious leaders in his day. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. That's a lot of love. And then once you've done that, go and love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So the Ten Commandments we follow are rooted in love. God's law given to Moses was rooted in love, and that love was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. That whole law of Moses, Exodus, Genesis, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, it's an expression of love. And we obey the Ten Commandments given to us because God first loved us. And when you obey the Ten Commandments, hopefully you're obeying because it's your response to God's love first given to you. So when Ruth was given the promise, that promise was followed by a clear sign. The clear sign was that the Redeemer would do exactly what he promised to do. Boaz would give a sign to Naomi and Ruth. And like the Lord, he proved the truth of his promise by giving them something, by giving them a physical sign. Listen to verse number 9. This is when Ruth sneaks onto the threshing floor at night. And she says to Boaz, who's just woken up from sleep, spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer of our family. She trusted him. And she asked him as the redeemer to cover her physically and to protect her physically. And Boaz was incredibly moved by her trust. But he did acknowledge that there was a closer guardian redeemer. There was a closer relative who had the first right of refusal. But he said, if that closer guardian refuses to do his part, then I'll do it. And I will do it. He said that. I will do it. But that's not an empty promise. Notice what he does here in chapter 3. He gave a sign. He actually covered her with his blanket. And he let her stay there for the rest of the night. He didn't impose himself physically or sexually on her. No, he protected her. He loved her as a vulnerable woman. He covered her with a blanket as a sign that the promise is real. And then when she got up in the morning, he sent her with a huge amount of barley. Again, a physical sign of food for women who needed food. What a great visible sign of a promise given. So first notice, he covered Ruth with his own garment, and then he fed her with his own food. He gave of himself to protect the vulnerable. So we have two clear and physical signs that the promised Redeemer would provide for those in need. That seems like a small thing to us today, but imagine what some of the most vulnerable people around us are going through. They're out of options. They don't have a place to live. They're sleeping rough in a park. They're addicted. They're vulnerable. They may live in a mansion, but they're lonely. They're broken inside. They don't have hope. And they don't feel the peace of knowing Christ. They need a physical covering. They need food that feeds them to eternal life. They need to know that their Redeemer promises and their Redeemer saves. So the promise about the Redeemer was true, and Ruth and Naomi knew it was true because of the things Boaz did for them. So just take a moment to let that sing in. We're going to sing a song of praise now, and then we'll come back and apply this beautiful truth in God's word to our lives today.
Holy, holy is He.
What a great song of praise. And now we're ready for some application. How do we take this timeless text from the Word of God and apply this in our daily living on Monday morning when we begin our work week or whatever it is we do during the week? The book of Ruth is about Ruth. Absolutely. It's a beautiful story of a foreigner being adopted into God's family. But the main thread running through the book is the faithfulness of the Lord. That's the main thread. He promises redemption, and he gives physical signs that the Redeemer is going to come. So we see the faithfulness of Boaz. I love Boaz. What a great guy. What a great man of God. I love Ruth and Naomi. Let's begin with Boaz. He promised to see them both redeemed, either by the first guardian or by himself. Then he covered Ruth with his own garment to protect her. And then he fed Ruth and Naomi with his own food. Boaz was a shadow. He was a shadow of one who hadn't yet been revealed to Israel, but one who was coming. The promise was given. Remember the promise in Isaiah? The virgin will give birth to a son, and you'll give him the name Emmanuel, which means God with us, a promise given and a physical sign of the Messiah born. And later in Isaiah, this promised Redeemer will suffer for you, and by his wounds, you will be healed. When the Lord Jesus took on human flesh, the promise became a physical sign, the most perfect, radiant, glorious sign that's ever been in human history, in all creation. And the ancient words that Job spoke came true. Job said, I know that my Redeemer lives, and in the last days he will stand on the earth. We live in the time, friends, when the physical sign has already been given. Jesus was born. He was crucified. He was raised on the third day, and the Holy Spirit has been poured out on all flesh. We're living in the last days. We're waiting for the Lord to return and for his kingdom to be revealed in glory. It hasn't happened yet. We long for that day. We say, come, Lord Jesus, come soon. But in the meantime, we have a foot in both places, in both worlds, the already and the not yet. As you wait in faith, think how Jesus has revealed himself to you. How has he done that? Think of the joy he brings. Think of the peace he brings. Think of the new life he's given you. You've been born again from above. Think of your sins that have been forgiven. You've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Think of the way he's covered you and he's covered his people. He's covered our nakedness and our shame, and he's covered us with himself. Like a mother hen gathers her chicks and protects them, he's done that. He gathered Ruth under the covering of his garment and protected her from the enemy. Think of the way the Lord feeds you. Think of the food you're being given from his word. And think of the food you're given, his body and blood given from the Lord's table. As you focus on the faithfulness of the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus, think of now what he's calling you to do as his follower, as one of the redeemed. You're a redeemed member of his family. He calls each one of us to reach out in love and compassion. Reach out to those who are walking in darkness. They may look incredibly prosperous on the outside. They may look like they have it all together, but without the Lord Jesus, they don't. They don't know the Redeemer. They're not yet redeemed. Or maybe they are redeemed, but they've lost hope. They're getting cold spiritually. They're disappointed by life and they've fallen away. Go out to the neighbor. Go out to the gifts with the gifts that God has given you. Use those gifts and go out and cover. Go out and feed. Go out and bless. Reach out with the good news that the guardian redeemer has come. The promise has come true. The Lord Jesus has been raised, and we're his messengers. One bigger than Boaz, the one Boaz was waiting for. Let's pray. Lord, you are the Redeemer. The promise was given so long ago, and the promise has been revealed. Physical signs made known perfectly in the Lord Jesus, in the flesh. Lord, we thank you so much for this good news. Would you please strengthen us this day as we worship you, and then send us out to share the good news with others, all to the glory of your name. Amen. Well, friends, let me let you depart with this blessing and remind you again of the blessing and favor of the Lord that goes with you today and every day. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be upon you and with you and those you love, today and always. Amen. And now go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah.
When it feels like the dark lingers longer than the night, when the shadows feel like giants, are you chasing me down? Tell me, where could I run from your light? Where could I hide? Hemmed within your precious thoughts, there's no hiding from your love. Highs and lows, Lord, you whip me the way it goes. Should I rise or should I fall? too good to let me go. Should I dance on the heights or make my bed among the depths? Mercy waits at every end, like you planned it from the start. Should the dawn come with the wings or find me far side of the sea? There your hand still